But the book of Acts records for us three missionary journeys of Paul and his various companions. How many churches did Paul and his companions plant? It's a good question. Scholars say that the book of Acts records 14 of them. But I believe the number is much higher, because the gospel sounded out from many of those churches. And I believe that those churches planted other churches. And here we are today, as churches have continued to plant churches. Is it still God's will to plant churches today? What's the answer to that? Yes. In 2022, has God's plan for planet Earth changed? No. In New Hampshire, the graveyard for pastors, of what I was told when I came here, is in New Hampshire, has God's plan changed? No. Even though, sadly, evangelical churches are closing at an alarming rate, there are some churches that are closing, which, friends, it's good that they're closing. You may say, oh, it's terrible. But for those of you who were here Wednesday night and saw some of what Pastor Andrew showed us, some of those churches, friends, it would be very good if they closed. But the sad thing is evangelical churches are closing at an alarming rate. Does God still want us to plant new churches? Yes. Even though Bible colleges are failing to produce pastors and missionaries, does God still want us to plant new churches? Of course, the answer is yes. Is the local church equipped and capable to train men for the ministry? Do we have to send people off to Bible school? No, we don't have to. I'm not against that, if you go, to the right school. I'm not saying I'm against that. But friends, God has equipped the local church to do what he has called us to do. And even though there are so many apostate churches today, does God still want us to plant churches? And of course, the answer is yes. Yes. So I'm concerned a little bit, friends, that we've forgotten about the excitement and unity that we had a very short time ago when we all agreed to plant Winnesquam Bible Church. And you will remember the vision that the Lord gave me before I even came to New Hampshire in 2010. And that vision was to see churches planted, and that vision has not dimmed at all. And if anything, in these last few months, the flame has been fanned. And as you remember, 7 years ago, kind of hard to believe, 7 years, huh? 7 years ago, when you called me, I remember at my question and answer time sitting up here and you questioning, one of the questions was to, what is my vision for Hill Village Bible Church, and I stated three things. And I wanted to train. Number one, I wanted to see Hill Village Bible Church grow quantitatively and qualitatively. What do we mean by that? We want to see the church grow in numbers through evangelism, and then grow through discipleship closer to the Lord. And because of your willingness and most importantly, your participation, which has been why most of this has happened, because you've been involved in that, I think we have grown quantitatively and qualitatively. I wanted to train young men for the ministry. And today, Pastor Andrew is an answer to that prayer. He's now ordained and co-pastoring here. Pastor Nate was here for a while and was a blessing. Bill Joseph, not the younger man I expected, but Bill Joseph We turned the RU ministry over to him and the discipling ministry over to him. Kenny Fenn for quite a while spent a few years with us, I think, Kenny, in our theology classes when we would meet over at the parsonage. This past Good Friday, we saw seven men from our church preach a message. I think that was exciting, you know. And I think there was it was good that we had those seven guys do that for the first time, all kind of together, because it kind of took the edge off. Now, those seven men are going to be approached to take a whole message yourself, not divided by seven. So be prepared. But this is what the ministry is about. And I'm currently discipling Ryan and Chad and JR. And another thing I wanted to start was a Bible Institute. Now, we're kind of doing it in a non-traditional way. And right now, Lakes Region School of Theology meets at 11 Clark Street in Franklin around the dining room table. But, you know, that's okay. We need to be training people. Has HVBC grown and matured? Yes. All praise goes to God. Young men have been and are being trained for the work of the ministry. And again, all praise goes to God. Why? Why is this? I believe it's because of the vision the Lord gave us in His Word to plant more churches here in New Hampshire and New England. Open your Bibles. I told you to open to Acts. Keep a finger there. We're going to be there in a minute. But turn to Proverbs 29. Proverbs 29, 18. We've heard this verse many times. This verse is quite often used out of context. I want to make sure we keep it in its context. Proverbs 29, 18 says, "But where there is no vision, the people perish. But he that keepeth the law, happy is he." So this vision, what is this vision? If there's no vision, the people perish. Does this mean if we don't have an idea for the church in the future, we're going to perish? No, it's not what it means. The word vision here means revelation. It means prophetic vision. It means instruction from God's truth. You don't have to turn there, but in 1 Samuel chapter 3 and verse 1, the Bible says, "The word of the Lord was precious in those days. There was no open vision." When Samuel comes on the scene, Eli and his family are the priest, and Israel was at a low. It's the time of the judges, and God wasn't revealing his word to the people. So vision means revelation, God's truth. Here at Hill Village Bible Church, friends, I believe we are blessed because we get to feast upon the Word of God. We're not perishing because of a lack of vision or hearing the truth from God's Word. And again, all praise goes to God. Other churches are calling us for pulpit supply. That's a good thing. All praise to God. And we need to understand, friends, the truth of training men to plant churches. This should always be our vision, our desire, our passion, our goal, because this is God's revealed plan for planet Earth. And it's what He revealed to us through His Word. Therefore, we need to keep it as our vision. Now go back to Acts 16. Acts 16, starting in verse 9, I will read 9 through 11. "And a vision appeared to Paul in the night. There stood a man of Macedonia and prayed him, saying, 'Come over into Macedonia and help us.' And after he had seen the vision, immediately we endeavored to go into Macedonia. assuredly gathering that the Lord had called us for to preach the gospel unto them. Therefore, loosing from Troas, we came with a straight course to Samothracia, and the next day to Neapolis. I have a note written in my Bible from 2009 that God used these verses to call us to New Hampshire. I did not see a vision. You know, the old man in the mountain did not appear to me at night and say, come up and help us. Okay? And when I came, he fell off the mountain. But no, that did not happen. Again, when Paul received this vision, the word of God was not completed. We have the completed word of God. So how do we determine what our vision should be? We determine what our vision should be by what is revealed in the Word of God. And what is revealed in the Word of God? To preach the gospel, to plant churches. So that's what we're doing. We're not doing anything outside the will of God. So notice with me point number one, the first part of verse 9. And a vision appeared to Paul in the night, and there stood a man of Macedonia and prayed him. A biblical vision. We need to make sure our vision is biblical. Is the vision to plant churches a biblical vision? It is. We read at the beginning of the service together, Matthew 16, verse 18, I will build my church, the gates of hell will not prevail against it. The Lord Jesus will build his church. Is it still, we answered this question already, but is it still the Lord's desire to plant churches? And of course the answer is yes. Have the gates of hell prevailed against his church? No. We may be a remnant. There may be not as many as there used to, but the gates of hell have not, nor will they ever prevail against the church. So what should we be doing? Planting churches. Getting involved in planting churches. Friends, we are not doing this to build our own kingdom. And if we are doing this to build our own kingdom and to make a name for ourselves, we are going about it the wrong way. The Lord will not bless that. You and I need to be willing to be forgotten. God does not need us. Does he want to use us? Yes. He doesn't need us. Don't think too highly of yourself. He used Balaam's donkey. Okay? So we need to make sure that it's not about us. It's all about him. That we're helping him in the building of his kingdom. Preachers come and go. Christians come and go. You and I have been on the scene for a very few years, but the Lord's church has been here for over 2,000 years. Was getting along fine before we came. And we'll get along fine after we leave. Friends, it's not about us. I do want to stress this. God desires to use us. And it's a great blessing to be used by God. But it's about him. So let's remember that. Let's always remember that. This biblical vision. Make sure it's biblical and make sure it's not about me. It's all about him. I don't know if any of you saw it, but I posted a video recently from Alistair Beggs, and it was about the thief on the cross, and it was a great video. And the thief on the cross goes to heaven, and he's being interviewed by the angel. The illustration is not true, but the point is, he's interviewed by the angel, and the angel says, what are you doing here? And the thief on the cross says, I don't know. He says, what do you mean you don't know? The guy in the middle cross said I could come. So he goes on to explain, he says, let me go get my supervisor. So the supervisor angel comes and he says, tell me, what do you know about the doctrine of justification? He says, nothing. Nothing at all. All right, let's talk about something easy. What do you know about the doctrine of the Bible? He says, Mom, I don't know anything. He says, what are you doing here? I said, the man on the middle cross said I could come. And he goes on to explain that if we think, when we're asked that question, why should you be allowed to go to heaven? And if that answer starts with the word I, we've missed it. It's all about him. The man on the middle cross. He said, I could come. The man on the middle cross died for me. I'm here because of what he has done. So we're not building a kingdom for ourselves, friend. We're helping the Lord build his kingdom. Do we see, so point number one, the biblical vision. Point number two, do we see the need? Verse 9, the middle part. What did this man say? Come over into Macedonia and help us. Now remember, Paul and his team were trying to go farther east into the area that they, a lot of the areas that they already had gone to, and they were being hindered by the Holy Spirit. And God had intended for them to come more into Europe. And this is the gospel on the continent of Europe. Paul's obedience to this vision is why you and I are saved today. The gospel came to Europe. The gospel spread to England. People from England came to America. Here we are today. Do we see the need? Notice first, come over. Come over. Come over. You know, we are to go to them. They're not to come to us. Now, is there anything wrong with inviting a person to church? Of course not. But most invitations go what? Unanswered or, you know. Probably for all the people we have invited to the church, I would say less than 1% of them have come. So that's why God says go. These people, yes, they say come over and help us, but they're saying come to help us. What is implied there? Then we have to what? Go. We have to go. We're commanded to go. You all know this verse, but Matthew 28, the Great Commission. And you know we're much about the Great Commission here. We're much about Great Commission living, where Jesus starts in verse 18 by saying, Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, notice the authority. All power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. This is the recently crucified, buried, and resurrected Christ. All power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. Go ye therefore and teach all nations. That word teach there means make disciples. Baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost. Teaching them. That word teach there means instruction. So there's evangelism and discipleship. Evangelism and instruction. Evangelism and edification. And teach them to observe all things whatsoever commanded you. And lo, I'm with you always, even unto the end of the world. And here the Lord is telling them, when you do this, you go, people get saved, and you plant churches. The whole book of Acts, we have that example. And then the rest of the epistles are written to those churches which were planted. Go! Come over, and what is it? Help us. What kind of help does the world need? A lot. Come over and help us. Does the world need another government assistance program? No. And friends, in saying this, please don't think that I'm against all of these things. I'm not. But the world does not need more welfare programs. The world does not need more free stuff. The world needs Jesus. Come over and help us. They need the life-changing gospel. Friends, outside that door are broken lives, hurting people. Hurts some we know about, hurts are deep that are hidden that we don't know about. There's broken families. There's people who are trapped in sin's grip. There are people who are chained in the chains of sin. Strongholds. There's confusion out there about what is right and what is wrong. There's a lot of hurt out there. And there's a world out there that needs Christ. The world needs our help. Do we have an example of this? Turn with Matthew with me to Matthew 15. Matthew 15, verse 25. Canaanite woman comes unto him and she's crying to have mercy. She talks about her daughter being grievously vexed with the devil. And notice what she says. She came, she worshipped him, saying what? Lord, help me. Help me. And of course, Jesus helped her. Look at Mark, next gospel, Matthew, Mark. Jesus meets a man whose son is possessed with the devil, throws him in the fire, wallows, foams at the mouth. Sometimes he's cast into the water. This demon the whole time is trying to destroy him. In verse 22, the man says, but if thou canst do anything, have compassion on us and what? Help us. Help us. You know, friends, there are people like this in the world today. There are people out there who need help. Not another government handout, not another shirt on their back, not another meal, but they need the help that only the Lord Jesus can give them. And you and I are his ambassadors. We're the ones that are to introduce people to the Savior who can help them. God has been so gracious to us. My life was a mess, going in the wrong direction. And God helped me. He came down and helped me. We need to do that. Are you willing to go? Are you willing to go? Come over and help us. Are you willing to go? And are you willing to help? You know, we get comfortable, don't we? We get comfortable in our Christianity. I think one of the things that Pastor Andrew was a little bit concerned about showing those videos on Wednesday is because we get so comfortable, we don't realize what's out there. And what's out there is not good. Now remember, he used the left and the right. I'm confused, but you know, he had the crazy screaming people over here. And then he had the really liberal people over here. They all need help. They all need help. They need truth. That's what the battle is for. Don't forget that, friends. Don't ever forget that. The battle today is for truth. What is truth? It's not your truth. It's not my truth. It's the truth. And we need to go and help people. Are you willing to go? So if I understand this vision, back to Acts 16. If I understand this vision, if I see the need, and I desire to help out in that need, what do I do? What is the message I bring? I'm glad you asked. Look at the end of verse 10. Assuredly gathering that the Lord had called us for to what? Preach the gospel unto them. Preach the gospel unto them. That's what they need. Can we help them with other things while we're preaching the gospel to them? Of course we can. Did the Lord feed the multitudes? Of course he did. Did he heal the sick? Of course he did. We can't do those things today, but we can help the sick. You know, but we can't lose sight of preaching the gospel to them. Assuredly gathering that the Lord had called us. Assuredly gathering means concluding or proving. That means they were very, very sure. There was no doubt in their mind. We have to go over there. We got to go. And what do we have to do? We have to preach the gospel. The Lord has called us to preach the gospel unto them. We need to preach the gospel. This is the world's greatest need, and the gospel is the only cure. Now, during Sunday school, if you were here for the adult Sunday school class, you know we just concluded a series on family fundamentals and looking at all aspects of the family from marriage, a husband, a wife, a father, a mother, a child, even grandparents. The Bible has a lot to say about grandparents. And we looked at what the Bible says. And I gave an illustration that if you typed in searching books on the family, biblical books on the family, you would literally come up with millions and millions of books. But why are we in such a mess with all that information out there? Because we're not doing what the Bible says. Now, we want to plant a church, how do we do it? Let's Google it. So we Google planting a church. There would be literally millions of books that come up on how to plant a church. It's already here. Just do it. And I'm not against programs, you know that. Programs are fine But you know what we need to do? Bring the gospel to them. Simple. Preach the gospel. Sometimes we complicate things, don't we? We complicate things. Look at Romans chapter 1. After Acts is Romans, so turn a couple pages to the right. What is so special about this gospel? Romans 1:16, for I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. It's the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. For therein is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith, as it is written, the just shall live by faith. What can change all the problems that people are experiencing in the world today? The gospel. Will their problems go away? Some. All of them? No. Guess what? Brand new problems come when you believe the gospel. But there's power in that gospel message. Because the power resides in the person the message is about. And then that gospel, the righteousness of God is revealed in that gospel and teaches us how to live. Look at chapter 10. Read these passages at Hayden's funeral, memorial service. Brother Hayden understood this probably better than a lot of us. Romans 10, verse 13, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. How then shall they call on him in whom they've not believed? How shall they believe in him whom they have not heard? How shall they hear without a preacher? So, you know, if people are to call upon the name of the Lord to be saved, how are they going to call upon him? Unless somebody what? Tells them. Verse 15. How shall they preach except they be sent? Friends, we've all been sent. Matthew 28. There's our commission. As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of them that preach the gospel of peace and bring glad tidings of good things. Just think about, just vision this in your mind, if you will. Some person trudging up an old path and bringing the gospel somewhere. How beautiful those feet, those footsteps that brought the gospel to me. You know, we need to understand this. We need to go. The message we bring is the gospel. And friends, point number four, there can be no delay. Notice they received this vision. Look at the first part of verse 10. And after he had seen the vision, immediately we endeavored to go into Macedonia. And then verse 11, therefore, loosing from Troas, we came with a straight course. No delay. Immediately. What are we waiting for? We came with a straight course. It means don't get sidetracked. You know, a lot of times we get sidetracked with our independent, fundamental Baptist bureaucracy. And we got to start a committee. You know, we need money. We need a survey. We need a constitution. No, we don't. We need to go. Immediately. Don't get stuck in a ditch. Don't go off in a ditch. One of the things we used to do, I'm making a little confession here. We were young kids. I know you don't believe this. I grew up in New Jersey, but I grew up in a rural part of New Jersey, and we had dirt roads. We didn't have a lot of police, and dirt roads were really fun to learn how to drift. And you need to keep it out of the ditch on both sides, right? It's not good to get off in a ditch. I'd get my old pickup truck going, sliding around there, and man, if you got too close to the ditch, and if you went in the ditch, that was not good. When you're stuck in the ditch, what are you doing? Nothing. No forward progress. You know what else you're doing? You're causing other people from making forward progress because they need to come to help you get out of the ditch. Don't get sidetracked. Keep it in the middle of the road. Keep the main thing the main thing. Take the gospel to the world and plant churches. Don't go sightseeing. You know, there's a time for sightseeing, but not, you know, if, think about, now they're going to Macedonia. They'd never been there before. There was probably a lot of pretty cool things to see, but they made a straight course and wound up in Philippi. They went where God wanted them to be. We need to have one clear vision, one clear direct vision, one desire, one passion, one goal. And that's Great Commission living, seeing people saved and discipled. To delay is to disobey. I'm not ready. I'm not trained. We can't go now. Go. What are we waiting for? Immediately, we came with a straight course. What has Jesus told us to do according to his word after he left? What were his last parting words? Go. Make disciples. Baptize them and teach them. That's what he told us. His last words. Go. Make disciples. Plant churches. Are we doing that? Are we doing that? Do we need a renewed vision? I remember that meeting we had a while back, and man, it was an exciting meeting. We unanimously voted. I know we've had some speed bumps in between. We can't delay. We need to do this. And after Winnisquam, I'm not saying when, after Winnisquam is planted, there'll be another church plant. I don't know where. God will reveal that. And we need to keep doing this. We need to keep training men. It's exciting to see young men come to the pulpit and read the scripture. It's exciting to see young men come to the pulpit and lead singing, who are nervous and shaking in their boots. That's all part of it. Training. All of us. Not everybody's a preacher, but all of us have been commissioned to go. And all of us can have beautiful feet if we just walk in God's path where he wants us to go. Let's not lose sight of that. Let's not think back about, you know, about why we shouldn't do this or it didn't work and look where we are today. Let's keep plowing forward. I'm going to preach about this next week as well, and Mother's Day will be here. Be one more message after that. But I want you to not lose sight of this. If the embers are low, get the fan out and start fanning them. Throw a log on a fire. Let's get excited about this again and pray about it. What's the, you know, one of the most important things we can do about this is earnestly pray for that ministry. Pray. Pray hard. And go and help. There's going to be days coming up very shortly where we're going to be doing visitation blitzes over there. And be a part of that. This is a ministry of this church as we are living out the Great Commission. We are living out in obedience the Great Commission. Let's go. Father, help us. Maybe, Lord, the flame has died. I thank you so much for these past few months in my own life for fanning the flames. And once again, within my own bosom, Lord, starting a fire. Lord, revive us and help us to be faithful in this ministry. And Lord, I pray not only for the Hill Village Bible Church and our continued growth as we continue to share the gospel here, but I think of Winnisquam and what you have already begun there, Lord. Continue to do and do a mighty work there. And I pray also, Lord, for if you tarry, other churches that will start in the future. Lord, lead us to people who need help. And Lord, when we walk out this door, everybody we meet needs help. Maybe we shouldn't pray, Lord, lead us to, but maybe we should pray, Lord, open our mouths to everyone we see. Make us bold. The spirit of fear does not come from you, but the spirit of power and wisdom does. So give us that spirit and help us to be obedient to you. And Lord, raise up works that come from this church, that bring honor and glory to only you. May we introduce so many people to the Savior. We'll thank you for all of this in Jesus' name. Amen.